We have been considering together the dispensations, and we're going to continue on that line of thinking. You will recall the first dispensation. By the way, perhaps I should say what a dispensation is. It is hard to put in words, but it is best described as a stewardship, where God lays out certain plans, and we as stewards are expected to follow those commands. So, the first dispensation was called innocence. God put Adam and Eve in the garden. Of every tree of the garden you may eat except that one. And they ate of that one. So they were no longer innocent. And that brings us to the second dispensation, conscience. God didn't tell them what to do, what not to do. They were to follow their conscience. Now, you know, sometimes you hear the expression, let your conscience be your guide. Be careful of that. It didn't work out then, and it doesn't work out now. And we know what happened as a result of the conscience being the guide. At the end of that dispensation, so imagine, only 8 people were found worthy of the Lord. Everybody else unsaved. That was the dispensation of conscience. And after that came the dispensation of human government. Now, most writers make a lot of the government part, which is good. But I like to consider, God said, replenish the earth, fill the earth. And what did man say? We don't want to be scattered. Just the opposite of what God wanted. And in order that we may not be scattered, we're going to build a big tower where we will all assemble and actually worship at the tower. It was a temple tower. The temple back there of Babel. And you know what God did? He confused the languages, so they had to scatter. It's interesting that in all of these things, God's way always works out. Between man and Satan, they try to oppose God, but God's way always works out, as we saw even this morning, how they mistreated the Lord. But he used the very mistreatment for his honor and glory and raised the Lord. And so we come now to the next dispensation. It is called the dispensation of promise. Now, previous dispensations were to more than one person. This one, the regulations were given to only one person. Why is it called promise? And for that, we'll have to go to the Old Testament. As our brother pointed out, there's certain things you won't know about the Old Testament unless you go to the New. And there is the old saying that the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. Why do we call it the dispensation of promise? Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, why the dispensation of promise? Verse 12, that ye be not slothful, but followers or imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now we're going to see what the promises are. But what we want to do now is justify the term promises as a dispensation. Chapter 7, please. Well, let's read. Yeah. Better read verse 5 to get the connection. Verily, they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. That is, of their brethren, though they come not out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. Who had the promises? Abraham. And we're going to go back and see what those promises were. All we are looking at now is why this dispensation is called the dispensation of promise. Chapter 11, please. Chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Please note that. He should receive for an inheritance. That's going to be very important in our considerations. He went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. Notice the word there. As in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they all had the same promise. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive a seed, was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she had judged him faithful who had promised. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. He that received the promises, that's Abraham, offered his only begotten son. How do we explain that? Was Isaac Abraham's only son? But he was his only begotten son. Why? Because he was born contrary to the raw laws of nature. And when we read, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, that son was not of natural birth, but was actually a divine person. So when you read here, Abraham offered up his only son, his only begotten son, it refers to the spiritual angle of things. Now, let's turn and see what the promise is that was given to Abraham. Book of Genesis, please, chapter 12. Book of Genesis, chapter 12. Now, verse 1. Now the Lord had said. Now there's some new translations that don't put in that word had. Had is very important. Had said. Completed action and past time. You remember when you studied grammar? And you had to go through these different tenses? This is what we used to call the pluperfect tense. Completed action in past time. The Lord had said a long time ago to Abraham, and to get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. We won't do it, but if you go back to verse 31 of chapter 11, you'll find out that he didn't do what God had said. He took along with him his father and some other relatives. Look that up when you go home. I will make of thee a great nation. Dispensation of promise. First point. He's going to make of them a great nation. Are they a great nation? The promise has been kept. What's the next thing? I will bless thee. Has he blessed the Israelites? Has God blessed them? Now, you may not agree with me, but the schools that I went to were in all cases, high school, college, 95% Jewish. And I want to tell you, that made competition. Those fellows were smart. In all my training, I only came across one Jewish fellow who couldn't learn. I don't know how he got that far, but he couldn't learn. We read here, I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee, and make thy name great. Is their name great? What's this man's name? Greenspan? Is he great? He decides what your money is worth. Isn't the Bible nice? Gives you all these little details. And before him, the Time magazine says that the man of the 19th, of the 20th century was who? Einstein. Was he great? All right. And before him, or after him, there was Bernard Baruch. One of our outstanding presidents was Mr. FDR. He often counseled with Mr. Baruch. He blessed them and he made thy name great and said, thou shalt be a blessing. Now, notice please the next expression. I will bless them that bless thee. And that's still true. That's why Russia is in the state that she's in, because she didn't bless the Jews. That's why Germany is in the state it's in. They killed the Jews. That's why Poland isn't where it should be. They didn't bless the Jews. Notice the next expression. Be very careful, beloved. I will curse him that curses thee. Anti-Semitism. I have known believers who were anti-Semitic. Don't do it, beloved. Anti-Semitism, God says, you will not come under a blessing. Do not hate the Jews. Oh, but they do so many terrible things. Well, how about the others? They all do the same thing. And when God selected them, I put this reverently. Do you know God knew what he was doing? Keeping the page now in Genesis, turn with me to Deuteronomy 7. He knew all about the Jewish people. He knew all their ways. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 7, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any other people. You were the least of all people. God knows it. He knows their shortcomings. I wonder why he chose them. You see, choosing the least gives me a chance if I think I'm not the least. And that's why he chose the least. Anti-Semitism is against God. I will curse him that curseth thee. That's part of the promise. And as I mentioned, these various nations that are in difficulty today, much because of the cursing of the Jews, mistreatment of the Jews. Everybody knows about the nation of Spain, don't you? Is Spain the number one power? I wonder why not. Read your history, the Inquisition, how they treated the Christians and the Jews. I will curse them that curse thee. In thee, I like that latter part, shall all families of the earth be blessed. True or not true? Sure it's true. All families are blessed and will be blessed through the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives salvation to all the world. Now that's the promise. Now read with me, please. Chapter 15, I believe it is. Verse 13. And this is one of the wonderful things about the Bible. You see, the Bible tells you things in advance. Most of these would-be smart people tell you things after they happen and then they interpret them wrong. I'd like to listen to certain of these, what shall I call them? TV intellectuals? I listen more or less regularly. Channel 26, 7 o'clock, the Lira program. All these men that know so much. It's a funny thing, they never agree. Somebody must be wrong. But if you want truth, you'll find it right here. Genesis 15, verse 13. The Lord said unto Abram, know of a surety, thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Now you tell me, beloved, do you know any man alive today who can predict what's going to happen in the next 100 years? Exactly. Day and hour. And all these prophets, I remember when we took our trip to Israel, one of the men there, he was a student of Zoroaster. You remember him? The Persian prophet? And he was saying this, that, and the other about Zoroaster. One question. Did Zoroaster ever make a mistake? He said, yes, a couple. I said, but then he's not a prophet. According to this, if you make one mistake, you're a false prophet. That's pretty high standard, isn't it? How'd you like to take an exam and you make one mistake and you fail the exam? Most of us wouldn't be where we are today. Is that right? Zoroaster made a few mistakes. But the true prophet of the Lord makes no mistakes. And when the Lord said that these people would be in servitude 400 years, it was 400 years exactly. And at this point, I want to consider with us the three captivities and the three dispersions. And this will have a lot with what you see out there, was it in Georgia? Mr. Clinton has Mr. Barack and the Palestinian leader, and he's trying to put them together. They'll never get together. I failed to emphasize this. God gave and said to Abraham, this land is yours. That land out there that they're fussing and fighting about belongs to whom? Israel. How do I know it? God said so. So that the conference that they're having there in Georgia won't work out. See, I can afford to prophesy. It's not original with me. It's what's in this book. That land God gave to Israel. And it belongs to Israel. And it's... When you get home, look up your map and see the extent. Let me see if I can find it here. Yes, chapter 15. Verse 18. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, now notice, from the river of Egypt, the Nile, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Now when you get home, get a map and look for the Nile from Nile to Euphrates. That's quite a bit of land. And the Lord said, that's yours. Now, they don't have it yet, but they're going to get it because it's written in this book. But let's come back now to what I first mentioned, the three captivities and three dispersions, where we just read that for 400 years they will be in bondage in Egypt. And then that was the first bondage. Then the first release from that came under Moses and Joshua. Then there was a second captivity. And you read about that in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, where Israel, the northern kingdom, went into bondage first, and then Nebuchadnezzar took the two southern kingdoms. And then they were relieved from that captivity during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. Read that. It's fascinating how the king of Persia said, how many of you want to go back home? And all that wanted to go went back. And that's how they got there. And at the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, they were in their second restoration. But then there was a third dispersion. There are many scriptures. Let's look, please, to Luke 21, verse 20. Luke 21. All right, that's Luke 21. There's another verse in Luke. Let me see where that is. Yes. Now, you must pray for me. You see, I told you Luke 21 and 30. It's actually Luke 21 and 20. See, that's one of the ravages of time. That, well, then I was looking at 30. That's even worse, isn't it? All right, 20. The Lord is speaking. When ye shall see Jerusalem surrounded with armies, know that the desolation thereof is near. Let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written might be fulfilled. Woe unto them that are with child. Isn't the Lord considerate? That's one of the things I like about the Lord. He's so considerate. He's so gentle and kind. In those days, there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. They shall fall by the edge of the sword, shall be led away captive where? Oh, where are they today? Where are they today? All nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And this is the third dispersion, and they dispersed among all nations. Now they're going to come back. But they're going to come back in two stages. They're going to come back to Jerusalem and all that land that the Lord said is theirs in two stages. Number one, in unbelief. That's what's happening now. They're not turning to the Lord. They're coming back in unbelief. Now, I think of something else. Not in these notes, but it just flashed across my mind. Book of Daniel, please. Last chapter. Now, this has to do with the tribulation period. Verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, one on this side of the bank of the river, the other on that side of the bank of the river. One said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? That's the question. How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? I heard the man sowed the linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and then a half. That's the tribulation. We won't go into that. When he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, and all those things shall be finished. Scatter the power of the holy people. Break that stubborn will. That's what they're in there now. But they're in there without God, a stubborn will. And it's going to stop. I remember, I think I told you this. When we were in Israel, one of the nurses who worked with us in over here in New York was a Jewess. And she gave me certain addresses. She said, I want you to visit my aunt and I want you to visit some other people. And we were very blessed. What was the name of the general there with the one eye? Moshe. I was in his home. So you see, I was up there as the world council. Then I was in another home. And that night, we got into a discussion. And it was pointed out that I think there were a million Jews surrounded by 100 million Arabs, something like that, ready to push the Jews into the Mediterranean Sea. And they were talking. Finally, I had to interrupt. I said, well, don't you think there is a place for divine guidance in this? What do you think happened? The hostess, her face turned as red as one of those chairs there. We don't want God in this. We'll take care of it ourselves. That's the trouble now. But there is going to be a turning to God. And when that time comes, then they will be relieved and Jerusalem and the land will be theirs as God prophesied. Now this promise that was made to Abraham was also made to Isaac, Genesis 26. It was made to Isaac, Genesis 26, and there was a famine in the land before the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. The Lord appeared unto him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Abraham went down there. Why do you think that the Lord told Isaac, don't go down to Egypt? Why do you think? He would have spoiled the type. He was the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to go down into Egypt with the world would have marred the type. Check it up when you go home. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Stay in the land. Genesis chapter 46. Told the same thing to Jacob. Stay in the land. Verse 25. They went up out of Egypt, came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. He is governor over all the land of Egypt. Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. Now notice, all along we've been reading about who? Jacob. Now notice the last verse there. Israel said. My. Now there's a reason for that. I suggest when you go home, check the reason. Why refer to him as Jacob 3 times and then Israel said? It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. But the Lord had said, stay in the land. And as our brother pointed out in the Sunday school discussion, there are times when God gives his permissive will. We've got to be careful about that, you know. You ask and you ask and you ask, and God says, all right. Be very careful. Another verse that our brother pointed out. He gave them the desires of their heart, but set leanness in their soul. Now he had told Jacob, don't leave the land. Now chapter 46. Israel took his journey with all that he had, came to Beersheba, offered sacrifices unto the God of his father. God spoke unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. That's another nice study. The number of times in the Bible where you find a person called twice. Jacob, Jacob. Abraham, Abraham. Saul, Saul. That makes a nice study, and there's a reason for it. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt. I will be there and make thee a great nation. Yet he told him, stay in Egypt. But you know how a father would feel. He hadn't thought the son was dead. Learned that he's alive. Wouldn't you want to go and see him? And God knows the feelings. And he said, all right, you have my permission to go. But what happened as a result of his going down there? He set up a home there in Goshen. The Jews multiplied. And you know the rest of the story. How they were enslaved. We have to be careful of God's directive will and his permissive will. He will often permit us to do the things which in the beginning he did not want us to do. And he will allow us to follow his permissive will. But be sure something is going to happen. Psalm, please. I want to read the verse that our brother mentioned in the Sunday school class. I think it's 115. No? It's not 115? Well, I'll find it very shortly. You see, that's another thing. This Bible, or this edition of the Bible, I've been using from the time I was 10 years old. Not this one. This edition. So that I pretty well know where to find things. I can tell you what side of the page and that sort of thing. I suggest that you do that. Get a Bible and become familiar with it. So when you think of a word and the chapter and the, you can find it. You may not be able to repeat it right off. Now let's see if what I've said works. It should work. Oh my. It's a terrible example for the young people, isn't it? I don't want to keep you too long. But it does work where the Lord mentions 15. It's to the effect, he gave them the desires of their heart, but he sent what? Leanness. And oftentimes, when we go contrary to the directive will of God, he will allow us our permissive will. But somewhere along the line, you're going to lose out. And so it is here with Jacob. He wanted to go down to see his son. Understandable. After so many years, he thought the boy was dead. And the Lord said, you go down there. But the result of his going down there, his people multiplied, and you know the torture and the awful situation that they went through in Egypt for how many years? How many years? How many years did he tell Abraham? Sure. What's that? 106. I think you're right. Yes. I knew it was on this side of the page and on the right column. The wrong chapter. Psalm 106, verse 15. He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. And there was real leanness after they got down there in Egypt. Great leanness. And then the Lord led them out. I'm just about finished. Now, I hope I haven't confused you with all this, all that I've said, and the turn to various scriptures and so forth. But the thing is, when God makes a promise, he keeps his promise forever. There is a hymn that says, forever, not for a day. God keeps his promise forever. And as we look at various happenings, again, I refer to the problem in the Middle East. The president, I take it, is trying his best. But as I said, we can prophesy. He is not going to succeed. Why? Because God said that land belongs to Israel. I trust then that we will be encouraged and pray wisely for our leaders. Our leaders have things so turned around and so backwards, it's a shame. They are actually blind leading the blind. None of them know where they go. Have you ever seen the blind leading the blind? Anybody? Well, I saw it one night. It was called on an emergency, 2 a.m. And I was working with another fellow, Charlie Fox, and he said, I'll pick you up. I said, fine. And as we were approaching the hospital, I saw these 3 blind people with their sticks out in the middle of the street. I said, Charlie, wait a minute. They don't belong there. And before I could get him to stop, he sounded his horn. And I will not forget what I saw. 3 blind people and 3 white sticks all going in a different direction. And it was sad. And I got out of the car and I said, wait, just stay where you are. Don't move. And I was able to get them together. And Charlie Fox said, well, where are you going? It's early in the morning, 2:00. I'll give you a drive wherever you're going. What do you think they said? Well, we're all right. Thank you. And that's the trouble with the blind sinners today. We're all right. And that's the trouble with our leaders. We're all right. And they're all wrong. The next occasion, we will go into the dispensation of law. That should be a fascinating study. Dispensation of law. Meanwhile, I hope that we have profited somewhat from what we have looked at today. It was not as well organized as I would like it to be. But I hope that you will gain some little gem. We had a doctor that used to talk about gems. This little gem, that little gem. And he had a way of putting things 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. And he put all his gems 1, 2, 3. He was a very interesting speaker. So I hope that you'll get some 1, 2, 3 gems from what we have said. Shall we pray? Holy Father, we bow in thy blessed presence. We thank thee for the access that is ours. We thank thee that we can call thee Father. Thou hast brought us into such a beautiful relationship. We thank thee too for the worship meeting this morning where we met and worshiped the Lord as he said he would be worshiped. We thank thee too for the Sunday school lesson and the lessons with the children and that which we have just looked at. Grant that thy word may be honored by us and bear fruit in our lives. We are about to dismiss. Take us home, we pray thee, in peace and safety. Bring us up again on Wednesday. Bless our brother who shall be directing thy word. We commit ourselves unto thee. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.